Now the days passed slowly and wearily. Many of the dwarves spent their time piling and ordering the treasure. Again and again, Thorin spoke of the Arkenstone of Thrain and bade them eagerly to look for it in every corner.
The Arkenstone of my father is worth more than a river of gold in itself, and to me it is beyond price. That stone of all the treasure I claim for myself, and I will be avenged on anyone who finds it and withholds it.
Look, it is the old raven again.
What news, Roach, son of Kark?
Roach, your kinsman Dane from the Iron Hills comes from the northeast.
How near is he, and how many come with him?
Roach, he is 2 days' march from here, and brings more than 500 dwarves. I fear lest there be battle in the valley, and though they are grim folk, they are not likely to overcome the host that besets you. Roach, even if they did so, what will you gain? Winter and snow are hastening behind them. Oh, how shall you be fed without the friendship and goodwill of the lands about you? The treasure is likely to be your death, though the dragon is no more.
Winter and snow will bite both men and elves. With my friends behind them and winter upon them, they will perhaps be in softer mood to parley with.
That night, Bilbo made up his mind. The beginnings of a plan had come into his little head. As soon as it was full dark, he took the Arkenstone from beneath his pillow, drew a rope from his bundle, then climbed to the top of the wall where Bomber stood watch.
It's mighty cold, Mr. Baggins. I wish we could have a fire up here as they have down in the camp.
It's warm enough inside.
I dare say, but I'm bound here till midnight. Oh, a sorry business altogether. Not that I venture to disagree with Thorin. May his beard grow ever longer, yet he was ever a dwarf with a stiff neck.
Yes, it's quite unpleasant. Listen, I'll take your turn at watch, if you like. There's no sleep in me tonight.
You're a good fellow, Mr. Baggins, and I'll take your offer kindly. If there's anything to note, rouse me first, mind you.
Off you go. I'll wake you at midnight, and you can wake the next watchman. Now to slip on my ring, climb down the wall, and be off. I've got about 5 hours.
He quickly made his way toward the encampment in the valley. At last he came to the bend in the stream where he had to cross if he was to make for the camp as he wished. It was not easy for the little hobbit, but he was nearly across when he missed his footing on a round stone and fell into the cold water with a splash.
What was that?
That was no fish. There's a spy about.
Hide your lights. It'll help him more than us. If it's that odd little creature, that's the servant of the dwarfs.
Servant indeed. I'll just slip the ring off and let them have a look at me in my armor. Let's have a light. I'm here if you want me.
The elves fell upon him and took him to the large tent where both the elven king and bard sat before a warm fire. Soon the hobbit sat there too, drying off, still wearing his elvish armor and partly wrapped in an old blanket.
Really, you know things are impossible. Personally, I'm tired of the whole affair. I wish I was back in the West, in my own home, where folk are more reasonable. But I have an interest in this matter, 1/14th share to be precise, according to a letter which, fortunately, I believe I've kept. Ah, a share in the profits, mind you. Personally, I'm only too ready to consider all your claims carefully and deduct what's right from the total before putting in my own claim. However, you don't know Thorin Oakenshield as well as I do. I assure you, he's quite ready to sit on a heap of gold and starve as long as you sit here.
Well, let him. Such a fool deserves to starve.
I see your point of view. At the same time, winter is coming on fast. Before long, you'll be having snow, and supplies will be difficult, even for elves. And there'll be other difficulties. You've not heard of Dane and the dwarves of the Iron Hills?
We have, a long time ago. But what has he got to do with us?
I thought as much. I see I have some information that you haven't. Dane is now less than 2 days' march off and has at least 500 grim dwarves with him.
Why do you tell us this? Are you betraying your friends, or are you threatening us?
My dear Bard, don't be so hasty. I never met such suspicious folk. I'm merely trying to avoid trouble for all concerned. Now, I'll make you an offer.
Let's hear it.
You may see it. It is this, the Arkenstone of Thrain.
The heart of the mountain. I've heard of it before.
It's also the heart of Thorin. He values it above a river of gold. I give it to you to aid in your bargaining.
But how is it yours to give?
Well, it isn't exactly, but I'm willing to let it stand against all my claim. I may be a burglar, but I'm an honest one, more or less. Anyway, I'm going back now. I hope you'll find it useful.
Bilbo Baggins, you are more worthy to wear the armor of elf princes than many that have looked more comely in it. But I wonder if Thorin Oakenshield will see it so. I advise you to remain with us.
Thank you very much, but I don't think I ought to leave my friends like this after all we've gone through together. And I promise to wake old Bomber at midnight. Really, I must be going, and quickly.
Nothing they could say would stop him, so an escort was provided for him. As they passed through the camp, an old man wrapped in a dark cloak rose from a tent door where he was sitting and came towards them.
Well done, Mr. Baggins. There's always more about you than anyone expects.
Gandalf, where did you come from? How did you get...
All in good time. Things are drawing towards the end now, unless I'm mistaken. There's an unpleasant time just in front of you. But keep your heart up. You may come through all right. There's news brewing that even the ravens haven't heard. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Gandalf.
Puzzled but cheered, Bilbo hurried on. He was guided to a safe ford and set across dry, and before midnight he was back at the gate. He woke up Bomber, and then rolled himself up in his corner and was soon fast asleep, forgetting all his worries till the morning. As a matter of fact, he was dreaming of eggs and bacon.